Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The more we estrange ourselves to the Word of God, and the more we deviate from God's Word, the more diversity we have, and the more opinions we have. And we are on the cusp of 7 billion opinions. Everybody being different than everybody else. That's because we have no guidelines of our thought, and it's a quagmire. It's a swamp of thought. It doesn't really have a destination. It's not like a river that has the boundaries of the bank that is going somewhere. It's a swamp that is stagnant, not going anywhere. Doesn't have a power. It can't generate the power to run an electrical generator. There's no power in that thought. It's just a quagmire. It's just a swamp. And that's because there's no rule book. Today, the NFL will play games all over this nation, and people will watch by the dozens of billions. And the reason why they can have the game is they have a rule book. And they are so specific on those rules, now they have instant replay. Wonder how many of us have spiritual instant replay. At the end of the day, we look at our life and say, did I get it right according to the rule book? I don't think so. We're more interested in a touchdown being scored in Pittsburgh than we are our eternal destiny. Anything's all right with spirituality. It's just a quagmire. It's a swamp. But that's not true. This parallel universe theory is exactly that. It's not true. There are no there's not one shred of evidence, and yet it is accepted by millions and millions of people. But there is a different world than most people live in, and I live in that world. And I invite you to live in it, and I would assume that most of the people within the sound of my voice are living in the same world that I live in. But it's not a world that I see on television. It's not a world that I see in politics. It's not the world of the wealthy and the famous and the accomplished. The Bible said of Christ that the common man received him gladly. I wouldn't trade places with the richest people in the world today because they don't live in my world. I wouldn't trade places with the most famous because they don't live in my world. I wouldn't trade places with those that are heralded as the great philosophers and the great scientific minds because most of them don't live in my life, in my world. But I live in a world that they don't even know exists. I hear things every day that people with PhDs that are brilliant that never hear. In the book of Revelation, it said, he that hath an ear. That's quite a statement. He that hath an ear. Said, well, yeah, I got two of them. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the ability to hear things that other people do not hear. You hear the voice of the Spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. People say, I don't go to church, but I'm a Christian. But the Spirit's only speaking to the churches, according to this passage. You miss a lot by claiming to be a Christian and not being a part of his earthly body. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what I hear. I hear things they did not hear. When Jesus was baptized, he said, Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it. I will glorify it again. You are my son in whom I am well pleased. But the people that stood around him didn't hear what Jesus heard because they were living in a different world than he was. They stood by, and when they heard it, it sounded like thunder. They said, there's a storm coming. To many people, the Bible is a storm. To many people, the Holy Spirit is a storm. But to Jesus Christ, it was confirmation. When I turn on CNN News, all I see is a storm. But when I listen to the Spirit, it tells me that there's something good happening to me right now. There's going to be something good happen to me tomorrow. And there's particularly going to be something good to happen to me eternally. I live in a world that they don't even know exists. And I hear things that they never hear. Number two. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I know things that the world does not know because I live in a world that they don't know exists. I know so many things. I find it amazing. All of a sudden it just comes to me and suddenly I have a wisdom or a knowledge of something that's about to happen and I have no way of knowing that. There are no clues. There's no evidence. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It also knows things that the world does not know. I make it a practice not visiting in my office or counseling in my office before service. And I got that from G.A. Mangan, that pastored a great church of a few thousand in Alexandria, Louisiana, and he's in heaven now. One of the greatest men I ever knew. And when I was preaching for him, he said, Steve, that's what I said, Steve. He said, don't ever counsel anybody before service because, he said, you're generally wasting your time because if they'll come in there and worship God, they won't need no counseling after service. So I took that to heart, but I don't do that. But a few years ago, I made an exception. Somebody said, so-and-so is here to see you. I said, I want to see him right now. I knew exactly what they wanted. I had no evidence of it. I just knew the Holy Spirit said you need to see him because he's got to leave early. And this is what he's going to do. He's going to bring you a fist full of cash for the church. And he came in and he said, I got to leave early. I got to go to work. But I wanted, he said, this is my last service here. I'm moving out of the city. But I wanted to give this to the church and this is my last. Oh, I knew that. Praise God. God shows me things. I know things that I could not, that I would not know unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. I have knowledge. It's called discernment. If you're full of the Holy Spirit that's in you knows all things. Now, he might not reveal it to you because you might not be receptive to it, or you might not need the knowledge at that time. You know, Becky and I have that understanding. We give each other information on a need-to-know basis. If you come to her and say, I'm having marital problems, she might not share that with me unless you want me to pray for you. We share each other on a need-to-know. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing according to what you know. I'm living in a world where the Holy Spirit tells me things before they're going to happen. The world doesn't have that advantage because they're not living in this world. Number three, I see things that this world cannot see. By faith, talking about Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was not fearful of the king. He was not fearful of the politics. He was not fearful of the political climate. And the Bible said this is the reason why he endured, seeing him who is invisible. If you get the Holy Spirit in you and you move into God's world and you live in a world that this world knows nothing about, you won't live in fear. You won't be fearful because of the political upheavals. You won't be fear because of economic downturn. You won't be fear because they are predicting there's going to be a recession. You won't be fearful. Why? Because you see things that other people do not see. I see those things. In every time there is bad news and you see things, if you're in the Holy Spirit, you can see the answer and the solution to problems the world has no clue because you're living in a different world. I heard about a young boy during the recession that we had when Jimmy Carter was president. And he lived in an apartment. He was going to college. He lived in an apartment. He had almost no furniture in that apartment because he didn't have any money. But he saw this gas shortage coming. He had a telephone in that apartment. He got on that phone and he called all the big gas companies. He said, I want to buy 1 million gallons of gas. And they said, we don't have it. He said, would you like to have it? He said, we would. We'd buy 1 million. He said, what would you pay for it? He sat there for days on that phone and finally called a company, said, I want to buy $1 million. They said, we got it. He said, what would you take for it? It was a few cents less than what these other companies told him they would pay. He said, I'll take it. It will be delivered so-and-so, and they will pay you for it. In just a few days, a teenage college student become a multimillionaire because he saw what the great financiers in Washington and New York could not see. He knew something. He could see something. Ladies and gentlemen, when you really get in the Holy Spirit, when it comes into you, will speak in a new language, but that's not the greatest thing it does. The Holy Spirit inside of you, it causes you to see things and hear things and know things that the rest of the world does not know. In this world that is so at war, I've never seen so much anger and so much war, not just around the nations, between people. So much war. I've made it my business to be the nicest me I can be. Joel talks about living your best life now. I'm trying to be the nicest I can be now. Because people are just not nice. I tell you what, this is a wonderful opportunity for the church. If you'll be nice, you're going to stick out like a well thumb. Because people are going to say, people are just not that nice anymore. Go out of your way to be nice, and I promise you, you will receive a great harvest. And so in this world of war, the Bible said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God will give you a peace in a time that is filled with war. They accept that their life is a few days. You know, the scripture is very, very confident in what it says, but all scriptures I don't want. There are scriptures that I don't want in my life. I go through them and sift them out, and I say, this is for them, and this is for me. This is for them, this is for me. This is for them, this is for me. And so the Bible said that this life is a few days and full of trouble. They accept that. Well, that's just the way life is. They've even got a cliche for it. It's called Murphy's Law. Are you familiar with Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, and it will go wrong at the possible worst time. They accept that. That's the way they live. That's their world. I don't accept that. I don't get up in the morning and say, well, Murphy's Law is in effect today. What can go wrong will go wrong, and it will happen at the worst time. I get up and say, whatever the devil means for evil against me, the Lord is going to turn it to my good. And bad things happen to me, and sometimes I just sit down and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I say, wait just a minute. This happened, and this is not in my world. This is an anomaly. This is not supposed to happen in my world. This happens in their world. And I just wait. I get bad phone calls on business deals, and sometimes I'll just sit there and say, I think I'm going to wait for the next call. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a little while, but sometimes it's within 5 minutes that phone will ring, and it'll be a reversal of what the devil just told me. I live in a peace that the world doesn't know exists. When I watch the news and I watch people and I watch their struggle, I just praise God. That's not my life. That's not my world. That's not my struggle. I'm not living like that. I'm not living in that confinement. I'm not living in that war zone. God has given me a peace. Number five, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God has given me a joy that is unspeakable. What does that mean? It's beyond my vocabulary. I will exhaust every word in English that I know trying to tell you about the joy of the Lord. It's not just because I got a new car or a new set of clothes or I got this or that. Those things are very temporal. It is the eternal joy that God gives me that no matter what happens, it's going to work in my good. The Lord's going to turn it around, and praise God, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. It's the joy of my salvation. The Bible said that with joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. They that live in that other world know nothing about the well that I am living at. Here was a woman that was in terrible turmoil. Five husbands living with another one. Her life was a mess. But Jesus talked to her about the joy of salvation, about the eternal water that he could give her. Well, he has given that to me. And so in a world that has a misery index that's off the chart, it's joy unspeakable for me. My life is better than it's ever been. I've been blessed, blessed, blessed. Somebody said to me the other day, how did you survive the pandemic? I said, except for my compassion for those that died, those that are hurting, those that had downturns in their life, that the pandemic was the best 2 years of my life. God heaped blessing on me. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, if you will move into God's world, you will find that there is a world and a life that this whole world knows nothing about. The Bible said they're alienated from the life of God. God's life is not a God of, not a life of misery. It's not a life of depression and life's fear. God is not only a good God, he's a happy God. And when you get involved in God's life, your life is going to become happy. You realize that all of this came to pass, that it's not going to exist. You're going to pass through that valley no matter what it is. It's the joy of salvation. God gave that to me when I moved into his world. The joy of expectation. Every day getting up, not thinking something bad is going to happen, but say, praise God, the greatest things in my life are yet ahead of me. This is going to be a good day. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. I am going to go out in a blaze of glory. God is going to add to me the joy of acceptance, knowing the Lord has accepted me and I'm not cast out. I'm not cast away, but I am in his company. And number six, I'm accompanied by him. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm never alone. I'm never on my own. I never have to bear my burden by myself. I never have to make a decision without his counsel. He is an ever-present help. Even in the time of trouble, when the world says it's just full of trouble, it's all right, because I've got the one that is able to bring trouble to its knees. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has promised me that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Lo, I am with you. I am living in a world that I don't see on television. It's simply not there. When I view the richest and the most famous, I don't see what I have in my life. So no wonder I'm a praiser. No wonder I praise God, not just in the house of God, but like David, 17 times a day, I will lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look what you've done. I was in the miry clay, but you brought me out. I was in the fiery furnace, but you were with me, and you brought me out to great acclaim. And last but not least, I entertain angels. There are so many people that don't believe in angels, but angels are an everyday part of my life. I believe that God has sent angels that are over my life. Guardian angels, we call them. When I was in the hospital for several days and the doctors gave Becky the report that I would not survive the weekend, by Monday I would be gone, I would be dead. I told the doctor and I told the nurses and I told Becky, and they all said it's not possible. They didn't see him. But I told them every day about a little man that came in a uniform. He told me he was in the army, and every day he would come to me and he would talk to me and he would encourage me, and then he would get me out of the bed and walk me around the hospital. That happened every day I was in the hospital. I told the doctor, and the doctor said, sir, that's just your imagination. He said, you can't walk, but I promise you, when everybody was asleep and everybody was gone, I had an angel and he was there. That angel is there every day. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get into God's world, not only will you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and the companionship of Jesus Christ that will never leave nor forsake you, God will send you an angel that will be your guardian angel. Oh, and the Bible said these angels are the errand runners of the heirs of salvation. That means I can say, go and he goes, come and he comes, do this and he does that. I've told you because it was a great time in my life. When I was a young preacher, I went to a Bible college and I preached on angels. The president of the Bible college was not there. And so when I got back to my place on Monday morning, there was a call. It was on a Friday that I preached there. There was a call from him, and he got me on the phone. And he said, "Steve, you've got to come back to the Bible college and recant what you've said, because what you preached is absolute heresy. There are no guardian angels. You don't have the authority to send angels and call angels. You just can't do that." And I said, "Well, I can't make it tomorrow, today, but I'll be there tomorrow, sir. And I'll see what we can do, because I don't want to cause you problems." Well, they had chapel that Monday after that Friday I had preached. And we sent angels out, and here's the way we did it. I've never done this before or since, I don't think. I asked people for their greatest need. And I asked them to write it down on a piece of paper. And we had a trash can. We put them all in there. And we sent them on fire and let it go up as incense. And then we called the name of where they wanted those angels to go. And so that's what we did on Friday. And that's the reason I was in heresy. And so he told me, he said, "You've got to be here to repent and tell them that you were in error." He said, "It's messing up everything." So he had chapel on Monday, about 200 students there. And they began to stand and testify. One young woman's testimony was, "My mother was an atheist, and here I am in Bible college. But," she said, "I sent an angel to my mother Friday. And Sunday in Seattle, Washington, she went to church and got saved." Those testimonies started happening all over that chapel. He still didn't believe it. He called me and wanted me to recant. I said, "I can't recant." And so he said, "I want to write a letter." And he said, "I'm going to write a letter to all the school board directors around Texas," and they were pastors of churches, "that you are a heretic and you're in heresy and you are to be avoided at any cost." In a few days, I started getting calls. And one was from a man named Jerry Ward that pastored in Paris, Texas. I'll never forget Jerry. Jerry's in heaven now. He said, "I just got the letter from the president of the Bible college. He said, you're in a heresy. You're a heretic, and you're in heresy because of what you said. He said, Steve, he asked us not to use you at all ever again. But," he said, "I've never heard what he said you believe. He said, is there any way you could come to our church and preach 2 weeks and explain that to us?" I started.